Welcome. Good morning. It's such an honor, truly, to be before you. And I would love to just return that favor and give a little honor and a clap and a round of applause for our lead pastor, who, if it wasn't for him, this church would not be here, because he has a gift and an anointing to teach and preach that is remarkable. I believe it's world-renowned. And without him, we wouldn't all be here. So I am thankful for you, babe. Wasn't that sweet?
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm just truly on the wave of thankfulness right now, and the message that God has given me to share with you guys, it truly is from the heart. It truly is from a place of, let me share this thing that God has done on the inside of me with you. Because when we share and we proclaim his victory and his goodness, what does it do for someone else? You see that, you hear that, you hear the profession of glory and greatness and deliverance and all of those things that God can and will do in your life, and then you stand on the other side of something victorious because of our Heavenly Father. Amen. That's it. As we get started, if you're a note taker, any note takers in the house this morning? I love that. Okay. I wish I took notes. I always forget to, or I don't have a pen and paper, and I didn't provide that for you this morning, so I do apologize. Hopefully you came prepared. But if you're a note taker, I'm going to give you 3 points, okay, to leading a thankful life. And this is going to change. This is going to change things for you guys, especially going into the holiday season, which, as joyful and wonderful and sparkly as it is, can be a really challenging season for a lot of us, myself included. So I'm going to fast track you to Thankful University. Okay, you're going to get a crash course in extracting the goodies of a thankful life, which, can I tell you, is peace, love, joy. Do you see where I'm going? A little bit of the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit is sweet, right? Tastes good to your mouth. I love that. So, point number one, in all things, give thanks. The Bible says this in 1 Thessalonians 5:8. Do you like my, check this out. That's so fancy. My husband's such a good minimalist, and I'm like, let's bring some flair. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Stay here with me for a minute. Pastor Rob, one of his notorious sayings is, he loves the word all, A-L-L. And when I'm sitting in the audience and I hear him say, when the Bible says all, I always sing that all detergent commercial song. A-L-L, the stain lifter, that's all. Truly, right? Jesus is our stain lifter. He is all things. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. If we could all just wake up every day and say this scripture out loud, I believe we would all get off to a better start. So basically, you're welcome. I just revealed God's will for your life. So you can just pack your things and get going, because now you understand. If only it was that simple. If only when we read a scripture, it was that simple and it just connected and it, from our heart to our head, and we could just walk that out. Okay, cool. I read a scripture. I get it. Now I can just go conquer the world, God, because you told me everything I needed to know. How many of you know it takes time? It takes repetition. It takes getting this mind of ours out of the things of the world and into the things of Christ and meditating on his word. It's a process. He's taking us through a process. We are righteous and we are clean the minute that we invite our Lord and Savior Jesus into our heart, and we make that commitment and we make that confession. He's there, but he's taking us on a journey of renewing our mind on a daily basis, but it takes commitment on our part. He'll remind us. He'll be in our midst here and there, and he'll put people in our lives, and that's a beautiful thing he does. But we have a part to play in that. We truly do. Give thanks in all circumstances. Notice that it says in all circumstances, not for all circumstances. Amen? I can be thankful in a circumstance, not for what is happening right now, as grand or as ugly as it may be, in my circumstances, I'm going to fix my eyes on Jesus and be thankful in my circumstance. I'm going to tell you guys a story about me. I have lots of fun stories. But not that many years ago, before I was married to my awesome, amazing, outstanding, lovable, wonderful husband, I at least like to name 5 points that I'm thankful for him for, I was a single mom. Before Judah and Hudson, it was me, Natalie, and Annika. I almost cry when I say that. We called ourselves Three Girl Power. We had this little group. Okay, I won't cry anymore. And you can see, look at their sweet little faces. This was my world, right? So I had gone through a divorce. It happens to pastors too. I wasn't a pastor then. And I was kind of mad at God through those circumstances because I wasn't as strong in my faith as I am now. But if we were to just fast forward to the end of the story, I will tell you that he used the fall, he used the defeating circumstances to prop me up and put me on dry ground and take me to a place where in every breath, in every utterance, I'm professing his name and giving thanks for who he is. Amen. So I worked, I was a stay-at-home mom, and then when I got divorced, I had to go back to work because ex-husbands don't want to just pay for you to stay home. Isn't that weird? So I worked for Costco Corporate before I stayed home, so I went back, and they graciously on-ramped me, and I got a position, and it was a good position. I was making good money. I got good benefits again, but it wasn't totally enough. I had to work 2 jobs. So the weekends that my girls were with their dad, I worked a second job, and I worked at a golf course. I waited tables and made okay tips, right? Where Maple Valley wasn't like golf course in Florida. They probably make great tips down there because everyone golfs all the time. So I was pretty stressed out. If you can imagine, you're working 2 jobs and you have 2 kids. And I lived in Maple Valley. I worked in Issaquah, and my kids went to preschool and daycare in Bellevue. So I'm up at like 5 a.m., maybe earlier actually, getting everybody ready to go. Get everyone in the car. We're driving all the way to Bellevue in the dark in the morning, listening to Disney princess songs on the way, because that's how we rolled back then. And then I would drive I probably was racing from Bellevue back to Issaquah because I was pretty crunched for time all the time. I was doing this on my own. And it was a fun time, don't get me wrong. It's not like, woe is me. We had a great time. We thoroughly enjoyed each other's company, and it was an outstanding time of just the 3 of us. But I was stressed. I probably had poor time management. I probably wasn't eating well enough. I was stressed out. I probably didn't eat at all. I think I lost like 30 pounds in 2 weeks, and I was like, yeah, I'll rock this thing. If there's a good side to divorce, it's weight loss. Right? If you've ever been through that, you know that. So I was working super hard to get promoted because I had a lot to prove. I wanted to surpass my ex-husband. He also worked for Costco Corp, but I wanted to surpass him in the business world. This was my plan. I'm going to have a better job than you, maybe be your boss one day, and then fire you. I'm just kidding. But I had gone from the buying office into the quality assurance lab on the food side. Okay, so you're thinking, what does a quality assurance lab do with food over at the Costco headquarters? Well, they have their own lab on site, and you take samples of product that gets pulled from the depot or from the stores, and you test it for Staphylococcus aureus, fungus, all of these gross things that you don't want to know about that exists in food, okay? So just don't ever work in a lab. But I had to do this microbiology course and became certified to grow this stuff and take tests and do all these things. And there was a promotion associated with it because I would never do that unless someone paid me. Amen? That's gross. But this particular day that I was already running behind, I probably was speeding from Bellevue to Issaquah. I probably was late. I probably wasn't using my blinker. I was probably radically weaving through traffic. I probably got pulled over. I probably started crying. And this day, I had to be there by a certain time because I had to show up for this like second round of testing, and I needed to do all of this to get promoted to make sure that these lovely little girls had everything that they needed. And I lost it. Like, I didn't mean to. I wasn't crying for sympathy. I just lost it. The stress and the circumstances in my life came to like this breaking point, right? When this, I saw the lights in my rear view and I'm like, oh Lord, what have I done? I know, but like I promise every day, like God was, he was keeping me safe from Bellevue to Issaquah so I could get to work on time. But today he let me get pulled over. And I know that great things come out of this, right? So I pull over and he just walks up with his cool glasses and his cool cop outfit. What are you doing, ma'am? And just, what do you mean, what am I doing? I'm doing everything I possibly can. I'm trying to be a single mom. I'm trying to work all these jobs. I'm trying to make money. I'm trying to pay my rent. I'm trying to juggle which bill I'm going to pay which week because there's never enough money in the account. I'm trying to put food on the table. I'm trying to get to work on time. I'm trying to get promoted. What are you doing? You're coming down on me. And he said, ma'am, just give me your license and registration. Yes, sir. And so I probably didn't have my insurance card with me because I probably spilled coffee on it during one of my many, I probably had coffee cups like all over because my adrenals were tapped and like that's what I did. I lived on caffeine. So I probably didn't have that. And I'm not sure, but I don't remember. I probably didn't have my wallet with me because I was trying to remember so many things and often I forgot very important things. I never forgot my kids though, just so you know. So I just lose it because he's like, ma'am, I could give you a ticket for speeding, failing to use your blinker, like getting too close to other cars or something. Is that a thing? And like he probably named out two or three other things because it was like driving without my insurance, driving without my license. But he looked at me with this merciful expression and he's witnessing me doing like the those cries because you're so upset, you're so terrified. He probably looked in my back seat and saw lots of child paraphernalia, car seats and dresses and tiaras and all those kinds of things. And I was absolutely shocked and surprised, pleasantly surprised, when he just looked at me and said, I'll tell you what I'm gonna do. And I shouldn't do this, but I feel like you need a break. I feel like you need some grace. And he said, the cheapest thing I can give you a ticket for is failing to use your blinker. So that's what I'm going to do. And you're going to stop crying, and it's going to be okay. And you're going to go to work, and you're going to get your license and your proof of insurance in your car, right? And it's going to be okay. And it had been a while. Chicks cry, okay? I'm sorry. It had been a while. Sometimes you cry too. Since I felt like I had seen God's merciful hand on my life. I felt like it had been some time of just, you know, nose to the grindstone, doing everything I could. And it had probably been some time since I had been thankful for the circumstance, for what I was in, right? What was my first point? In all things, give thanks. I probably wasn't giving thanks. God, thank you that I have two jobs. God, thank you that I have an opportunity to have these years of one-on-one time with my kids. No, I probably did not have that attitude. I was sort of angry and confused and, you know, divorce is an ugly thing. That's why God hates it. It wasn't something that had been planned, but I could start to see that there was a silver lining and that there was something that he was doing in my life. And I didn't fully understand it, but I was like, I feel like I see you again, Lord. I feel like I can identify you in my midst again. So what is God's will for my life in that moment? Be thankful. So all of a sudden, I'm super grateful I got this ticket, but it was only for like $150, not for like $800, which it very well could have been. Not for all things, because I wasn't thankful for the ticket, but in all things, in my circumstances, for a God who is greater than I, who is merciful and glorious. And that spirit of thanks, you can take that with you for a lifetime. For a lifetime. So point number two, in all circumstances, give thanks. Remember, this is 3 points. Point number one, in all circumstances, give thanks. Point number two, say it with me, church. A-L-L, the stain lifter, that's all. Colossians 3:17. So cool. I love that. It's really snazzy. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all, there's that word again, in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. When he started praying for California, I almost lost it, because what that state has gone through in the last year is unbelievable. The people who are without homes right now, the kids who are without schools, over this campfire situation, it truly breaks my heart. But I do pray that in the midst of all of the chaos and the ashes, right, that beauty will rise, and that these families will come out victorious. I'm not thankful for the bad things, but I'm thankful in the situation. How many of us right now are in a situation or circumstance, I'll tell on myself, where we get so focused on what's happening and how it's happening, why it's happening. Maybe we're just not grateful and thankful in our circumstance for where we are right now. I told my husband a long time ago, every time you preach a message, I feel like God is preaching just to me and you. So I'm kind of preaching to myself right now. But I feel like we can all say this to ourselves right now, that we are all in a warm place right now with a roof over our head, and we can freely, without persecution, because trust me, we are not persecuted people, right? Worship our Heavenly Father together under this roof. And what a beautiful thing that we get to do. And with death and loss of life and sickness and all of these circumstances, to just be thankful for what we are in and who we serve, who is Jesus, how he died on the cross, took on sin for us. I want to put up this little article. This is probably against the law because I'm not given any credit, but I don't remember where I got it from. Rebel, I'm still speeding. Look out, I'm still not using my blinker. Your thoughts and emotions can affect your health. Come on, somebody. Emotions that are freely experienced and expressed without judgment or attachment tend to flow fluidly without impacting our health, right? On the other hand, why is there always on the other hand? There's another hand. On the other hand, repressed emotions, especially fearful or negative ones, which we know that's the opposite of God, can zap mental energy, negatively affect the body, and lead to health problems. It's important to recognize our thoughts and emotions and beware of the effect they have, not only on each other, but also on our bodies, behavior, and our relationships. When we read in Thessalonians 5:8, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. How many of you know that the Bible wasn't written to be like, hey, just grab this little book and read this and then form your own opinion based on the directives that were given? It's a directive, okay? God is giving us the secrets, the keys to unlocking
a healthy, fruitful, thankful life, right? So when the Bible says give thanks, why can't I remember this? In all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We are to do this because there is some benefit for us in doing what God tells us to do. The Bible doesn't say put on your helmet of salvation as a cute little narrative for you to not do this thing. Because when you put on that helmet of salvation and you are training your mind to what God is telling you, what the God-inspired word, the Holy Spirit-written word is saying, to put on your helmet of salvation, wake up every day and remind yourself you are saved. You are a saved person. If you have put your faith and your trust in Christ Jesus, you are a saved person. Amen? What does that mean? What does that even mean? Okay, cool, I'm saved. That feels good. I feel good. Good. It's all the feel goods. It means that for an eternity, your soul belongs to who? To God. If we can't get excited about that, church, if we can't get excited about an eternity with Jesus, I don't know what else I could tell you. I could try to tell you a joke. I could tell you another story that would get you by. But if getting this in your mind that being saved eternally and that one day when we leave this earth and we ascend to heaven and we're with our Heavenly Father, you are going to live forever. Forever, ever, forever, ever. I'm glad some of you got that. It's a forever thing that he's doing. So be grateful in all circumstances, because on the other side of whatever pain and whatever grief and whatever circumstances you are in right now, whatever speeding ticket you just got, whatever divorce you're in, whatever doctor's diagnosis you just got, on the other side of this worldly information is an eternity with Jesus. And I am so thankful for that. And I want to just take out whatever it is that's on the inside of me right now, this revelation of thankfulness, this revelation of a God that we serve who's so good. And just if we could all learn to cry out to him, if we could all learn to just in every moment stop right now in this moment. Thank you, Jesus, that we are all together in this place and we can freely, boldly come before your throne of grace, God, and worship you, Lord, freely. Whatever circumstances you're going through, you have a loving Father who wants to and will come alongside of you in every little thing. That last sentence said it's important to recognize our thoughts and emotions and be aware of the effect they have, not only on each other, but also on our bodies and our behavior and our relationships. That wasn't biblical. That was just something that someone wrote, and it's good wisdom, but the Bible tells us the same thing. Amen? David wrote in Psalm 103:2, praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Didn't we talk about the fruit of the Spirit at the beginning of this, that a thankful attitude and a thankful heart and coming from a place of thankfulness, you will begin to have fruit manifesting in your life. You will begin to experience peace. I wasn't going to tell two stories. I was going to tell one, but I'm going to tell another one because I'm feeling it. Not that long ago, I got a crazy diagnosis where I was just going to this place to figure out if I needed, I don't know, some kind of weight loss treatment. I'm like, Lord, I can't lose my baby weight. Help me, Jesus. So he put a friend in my life who sees this nurse practitioner over in Puyallup, and I'm like, I'm going to her because you look great, and I want to look great too. So I'm going to go. So I did. And they drew my blood, and she's like, come back, and we'll, and I thought she was just going to give me some food. Don't eat this. I'm like, okay, I know that. Don't eat that. Okay, cool. But she's like, ugh. So some of your blood work came back, and it looks like you have an autoimmune disease.
I'm like, shoot, really? I was just kind of hoping you were going to say don't eat cheese or something. Cheese. And I'm like, okay, what does this even mean? Well, it means a lot. It means that, like, my body is kind of attacking itself. Shouldn't be. It means that somewhere along the line something happened and whatever. Now I have this thing. But Paul had an affliction too, right? So I'm like, I'm hearing her talk and I'm hearing this information and I don't really understand what all of it means, but she had me do some things and one of my charges was I really had to eat this super restricted diet that I'm still supposed to do. I might be slacking a little bit, but anyway, that's what I'm supposed to do. And man, it was July and all of a sudden I thought I had a spider bite on my stomach. And I started texting pictures to my friends because that's what we all do now. What is this? What do you think this is? Is this a spider bite? Does it look like, I don't know, what is this? And someone was like, that kind of looks like cellulitis. You should probably go to the doctor. I'm like, oh, okay. So one of the things this doctor had me do is give myself these shots, which are supposed to help something with my immune system. And I did it, but my immunity was so low that at my site of injection, there was staph on my body. So not only did I wind up with a staph infection on my stomach right over here in my abdomen, but it was MRSA. So I hear those words and I'm like, oh my gosh. I didn't know there were two kinds, like scary kind and a super treatable kind. So I thought I was gonna die. And several days of monitoring this, you know, you draw the circle. Any of you have had an infection like this, you draw the circle. If the redness goes beyond the circle, get into the doctor right away because you might die. So it was getting worse, and I went to the doctor, and I went in there, and he's like, yeah, okay, this looks bad. Probably going to give you, like, another shot, and we'll make sure the injection site's clean. But we're going to give you this stuff, and we're going to figure this out. And I'm weeping. I'm like a wreck in his office thinking that I'm going to die. My children are going to be, you know, motherless and all of these things. I'm trying to think in my mind, who can I fix my husband up with? Who's going to be a good mom to my kids? In my will, these are the three women you can choose from. And all of a sudden, this man looks at me and he says, because I said to him, I said, am I going to die? Tell me I'm not going to die. And he said, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. I'm like, wait a second, am I at UW Clinic? Are you allowed to say that? This isn't like a Christian care network or anything. And I'm like, yeah. Does he know that I am the pastor's wife at Grace Road or something? And then he said, your shirt. And I looked down and I was wearing my t-shirt that says, I am the church. Because we're not. This is not church, right, people? Touch the person next to you and say, I am the church. Amen. So in that moment, I became thankful for the word that was spoken to me. I became thankful for my t-shirt that I will never part with. And I became thankful that I was going to overcome this thing. And if I did not, I have an eternal life with the Lord who loves me dearly. And would probably find someone cooler than the three people I had on the list for my husband to raise my kids. Come on, it's morbid, but you can laugh at that. Forget not all his benefits. David, if you will, didn't keep his thanksgiving to God a secret, did he? David danced out of his clothes. I'm not encouraging anyone to literally do that, but figuratively, I would like to see this church dance out of their clothes. I would like to see a body of people dancing out of their clothes. Okay? Because when we are all professing our thanks and glory be to God, I'm getting off track. David didn't keep his thanksgiving to God a secret. In Psalm 34:2, he wrote, "The humble shall hear of it and be glad." This is too good. And who were the humble? They were those like David who were going through tough times. Is anybody here going through a tough time? Yeah.
today, yesterday, last week, next week. The Bible doesn't say become a Christian and float on clouds with unicorns the rest of your days. The Bible says count it all joy those who fall under persecution, right? So you become a Christian and you wonder, man, things got a little crunchier since I decided to give my life over to you, Jesus. Maybe I shouldn't have done that. Because now I've got the enemy, like, knocking at my door. But what did he give you instead? He gave you a book, gave you a guideline, gave you the Holy Spirit, right? To teach you through these circumstances, to shift your spirit, to cause you to give thanks and praise and thanksgiving for who you are and where you are. Amen? Dance out of your clothes, people. They were those who, like David, were going through tough times. Why would they be glad to hear his praises? Because their own faith was strengthened when he testified about God's help to him in times of fear, trouble, need, sorrow, or affliction. Five things. In that season of my life when I was stressed to the max, my adrenals were tapped before that was even a thing, before we knew about adrenals almost 10 years ago. When I would go to work every day, just getting in time by the skin of my teeth, praying that my boss didn't say anything to me about getting into work right on time, because I had already been up for 3 hours, getting little girls ready for school and dropping them off, frantically worrying about bills, trying to pay things from my cell phone, which we all just got smartphones around that time, so that's how long ago this was. I'd go to work, and God put people in my life for reasons that God does, and I was not all of my friends, and still not all of my friends, are Christians. And there's a reason for that. Because if we weren't friends with non-Christians, how are they going to get to know the Lord? Okay? So we don't surround ourselves in protected little communities of Christians only. We're supposed to go out and make disciples of all. So there were a couple ladies that God placed in my life who were like these little beacons of light. And randomly, I promise you, I would get a little email. Hey, I don't know if you're here already yet today, but I'm just praying for you. Thank you, God, for this woman who I barely know, who has seen me in my circumstance when I felt like the world couldn't even see me because I was such a mess. I was so stressed out and chaotic, and they would just see me. God gave them this skill to see me. Or I would be walking up the stairs in the deli with the $3 that I had that day, because I had some crazy small budget for eating, you know, but thank the Lord that Costco's, deli had super cheap food, and it was really good. There's something about getting up every day and walking downstairs and, like, having people cook for you that was really cool. So not all of it was bad. I had a view of a lake out my window. But they would just see me. Hey, you doing okay? Can I pray for you? Is there anything you need? I would get emails or calls from people and just say, hey, God's put it on my heart to bless you with a check. I didn't go to the same church as these people. I hardly went to church because my kids wouldn't stay down in kids' service because they wouldn't let them be together. That's a whole nother story. And God was using people. Then I was finding my thankfulness for him again. In a season of my life when I was so angry that God would let this happen in my life, that he would take my family, not that God did this, but this is what I was thinking, he would allow my family to come under this crazy stressful situation, he would allow it to be broken apart, this is what I'm thinking, God, why would you do this to me, you did this to me, you did this to me, you, I'm mad at you, God. Man, if I could go back to me at that time and say, girl, you need a little thankfulness. I'm not hearing a whole lot of thankfulness out of your mouth right now, but I had to go through that season. I had to hit rock bottom. I had to know what it was like to cry out from the depths of my soul, Lord, help me, because what I'm doing isn't working. I'm stressed. I'm tapped. I don't know what's going to happen to me. I had the stress of wanting to pay my rent every month, but not knowing if that was going to happen. Not knowing if my circumstances would get so bad that my ex-husband would come get more custody of my kids, which was my biggest fear. I wasn't going to let that happen. God wasn't going to let that happen. But he let me hit bottom, where I was so scared. I was so terrified of my circumstances. All I could do was give thanks because I had nothing else. I had nothing else. I was seeking meaningless relationships with people, thinking if I could just find a husband who made a lot of money, everything would be great. But men who are not Christians who make a lot of money are just not where it's at. And I learned that. This is called transparency. This is called vulnerability. I learned that I needed to hit the bottom. I needed to cry out to God to come from a place of thanks so that he could fix me, so that God could do what God needed to do in me, not what a self-help book wanted to do or a psychotherapist or whoever else needed to do in me, but Jesus, the God of the universe, wanted to do something in me, and I had to get out of the way and let him do it. Come on. I wouldn't have had hope in my trouble, hope in my need, hope in my sorrow, hope in my affliction if it wasn't for Jesus. When was the last time, and I won't say you because I'm not a finger pointer, when was the last time we, does that feel better? Okay. Unashamedly praised God for helping you in your difficulties. Right here, right now, under your breath or out loud, just say thank you, God. Why is that so hard for us to say loud? Why is that so hard for us in the grocery store when our debit card works? Thank you, Jesus. There's still money in my account. You write a check for your kid's lunch. It goes to school. It clears. They come home. You didn't get the slip. Thank you, Jesus. My check cleared. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't get pulled over when I was speeding and I knew it shouldn't be. Lord knows you cannot go through Black Diamond 36 miles an hour or you will get in so much trouble. Someone said, if Christians praise God more, the world would doubt him less. I would love to. If Christians praised God more, the world would doubt him less. Not that we're running around to be taskmasters, and if you do this and you don't do this, you do this and you don't do that, but out of the goodness that God has placed on the inside of us and the thankfulness of our hearts to praise him at every turn and every step and every corner, right? Every little place, every grandchild, great-grandchild, I love you. Every moment in our lives where affliction leaves us, where bills get paid, where sicknesses are recovered, where mortgages get paid, people are healed in the name of Jesus. Where church is loud, where people give thanks. And in this week of Thanksgiving, let us not be quiet. Let us not be worried about looking like the oddball standing in the middle of a room of people with the microphone, talking about being thankful for where God has you and what God's done for you in the midst of every crazy, crazy thing that we are going through. Be loud. It's okay. Be thankful. It's okay. In fact, it's better than okay. It's good. Can we be a community of believers who is praising him so much that the city of Black Diamond says, I think I want to know about God? That the person in the grocery store heard you, watched you do your thing, and heard you say, thank you, Jesus. And they're like, I've been thinking about you for a while, God, and I think I want to know a little bit more. Our kids learn from us. They watch us. We're an example to them. Let these kids go to school. Pray over their lunch. Heaven forbid someone prayed over their lunch. Heaven forbid, when my daughter Natalie was in second grade at Glacier Park Elementary School, I got an email from a teacher. And they said, I know you guys are Christians, and I am too. I think it's so great. Natalie has been asked to not lay hands on people at recess. God just wants me to pray for you right now. If only she was still in that same jubilant season. She's 13, almost 13, so you guys know what that's like, right? Not only is it appropriate, therefore, to express your gratitude for all his, capital H, benefits, but your example may also encourage others to move from doubt to faith as you praise him. What a simple thing to do. No one's calling you to be a theologian. No one's calling you to be a preacher. No one's calling you to those things except God, and only you know. But just to praise him with your mouth, with your lips, to profess that Jesus is Lord, is life-changing in and of itself. The third point for all of you note takers: in all circumstances, give thanks. Psalm 104 says, enter his gates. I'll wait for you, because I want everyone to see this beautiful thing again. It's magical. It's the Holy Spirit. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with
praise.
With
praise.
With
praise.
There you go. Give thanks to him and praise his name. What a simple thing, but what a powerful thing that we can do by just saying the name Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. I don't remember the rest of the words, but man, that song is good. You make the darkness tremble. How many of you have dark circumstances in your life right now that you want God to make them tremble? Make those circumstances tremble in your life. Will you put the last photo up for me, Elaine? After a season of being so stressed and confused about why God allowed me to go through this valley, I went online to Match.com like any respectable woman in 2013 would do, 2010. And I set my filters, and I found my husband in the most unorthodox way I felt like possible. But he was on there too, looking for someone that God wanted to bring in his life to complete what he needed to do. Because we need a helpmate for those things. Amen? I saw a profile picture of a man in a sweater leading worship at a little church up in Wallingford. And I was smitten, not just by him, but I could see his spirit. I could see who he was and what he was setting out to do through this photo. And so I reached out to him, and I did first, because I'm the aggressor. And I sent him a note, and I wish I had put up my photo, because it was me in boxing gloves, okay? That's how I felt at that time. This was me holding my guard up, like, world, I'm going to knock you out. And I sent him a note, and he called me back, and we talked for like 3 hours. Told me how he was adopted. He told me his life story. He told me about all these things. I met a man who told me all these things. And we went on a date, and it was just this amazing experience where I felt God in our our midst. I did. God actually gave me my first vision that night of us at a table, a big, long Thanksgiving table with kids running around, and we were in ministry. I had no plans of being in ministry. I had plans of climbing the corporate ladder and being this bossy buyer and making a lot of money and showing the world that I could do it. Forget you. You go find somebody else to marry then. Forget you. Hire someone else for that job, whatever it may be, right? I had a chip on my shoulder. I had something to prove. Some of you know that's because I'm from Yakima. And God proceeded to do a thing where I thought God had left me. I thought God had abandoned me. But when I began to thank him for the little things, he started to do a big thing. I thanked him just for bringing a Christian man into my life who could speak good over me, who was seeking the goodness in me. I began to thank him for belonging to a church again, where people were praying for me. I didn't have anyone praying for me for years. I was alone in a bit of a dark season. I began to thank him for being on the other side of pain. And we fell in love. And then we did what every couple called to ministry does. We went to see a prophet. And he called us out before the whole crowd, and he said, husband, wife, equally yoked. And we knew this, but to have someone else say it, thus saith the Lord, was pretty crazy. And I said, how much did you pay him to say that? I began to thank him for everything. And he brought me a marriage. He brought me a husband. And my identity isn't in my husband, okay? All of you who know me know that my identity is in Christ Jesus. I am a new creation. He is in me, I am in him. But it is wonderful to be partnered with a man of God, amen? It is wonderful on the other side of my circumstances to be thanking him for bigger things. He'll take you when you're praising him for the smallest thing. This tiny little thing over here, super itty bitty in your life. And he hears you when he sees you. And God loves to be thanked. Not for him. What does it do for you when you have a thankful heart? What begins to manifest in you when you're no longer complaining over the things in your life, but you're thankful over the things in your life? Am I a little too repetitious for you this morning? Or are you picking up what I'm putting down? It begins to change you. It's actually physiological. Your brain will begin to change. You'll have new pathways. You'll have new stems and branches and all the stuff that I don't know enough to speak to intelligently, but that's what happens. And life will begin to change. Psalm 104 again. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. God did the ultimate thing. He gave his only son. He did the ultimate thing. Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice. I'm not trying to judge, but whatever it is you're going through this week, it's not that. You're not hanging from a cross. I'm not hanging from a cross in my circumstances. I have very first world problems, amen? But I believe that the God of the universe that we serve is so good that he's going to bring you out of any and every circumstance that you're in. Amen? Amen. Some of you need prayer this morning. Do not be shy to ask for prayer. Do not think that your thing is too small. Do not think that praying with someone else isn't going to do anything. Change your thinking. Change your mentality. Pray with one another. Amen? We're called to pray with one another. I invite our prayer warriors to come up this morning. If you're here, they'll be standing up here, ready, willing, and able to pray with you, to give thanks with you in your circumstances. Every little thing, nothing is too small for God. He wants to hear about all your problems because he's your daddy, amen? Heavenly Father, we just glorify you, Lord, and we honor you. We magnify you, Heavenly Father, and in your presence today, God, in your midst, Lord Jesus, I pray for every soul. If you don't know the name of Jesus this morning, if you have never encountered him, if you have not made that decision, God, I want to live to serve you. I want to be in your midst all my days. God, if you haven't come to that place yet, would you just raise your hand? Raise your hand if for the first time you want to declare, Lord, I want to be yours and I want you to be mine. Heavenly Father, we glorify you, honor you, we magnify you. And on this week, this Thanksgiving week, Father, I pray that every person who leaves here today with big boasting praises in awkward places would praise your name, would give thanks, Father, for everything.